This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadus. So you went back and watched the tape of, I'm assuming, this past season, George Pickens. Yeah. This is a guy who has not had a lot of help in terms of complimentary receivers around him. And then he's also not had the help at the quarterback position. I mean, he's been catching balls from Trubisky, Pickett, Rudolph, Wilson, and Fields. So this is a guy who's had a bit of a combustible personality at times. There are certainly immaturity issues, but you said it. It's not like he's disliked in the locker room with the Steelers.
No, not at all.
So he's coachable and all those different things, but he wants the ball, and he wants to be on a winning team, and he wants to have a quarterback that knows how to throw it in the relative zip code that he finds himself in on any given route. So what did you see from the tape? What are we getting in George Pickens?
Yeah, I had the great benefit of with next gen with the way the NFL teams get their film is you could break down every single ball thrown to him. So it's not like you're having a hunt, him getting passes thrown his direction. You could see all the catches. You could see all the drops. You could see all the overthrows and stuff like that. So I was able to take all his opportunities this year, and it really paints you a picture what type of player this guy is. You mentioned it, Eric. He's emotional. He's fiery. He'll physically fight off the line to get opportunities to get in route. He tends to push off in order to create space in route. He gets away with it a lot of times. You'll see him like go into a defender and then kind of just shove him with his arm, or he finds a way to put his hand up, running along the sidelines. He'll put his hand up and it'll kind of buy him a little bit of space, so he's allowed to go in and get that football. But he catches the ball away from his body. You could really snatch it. I mean, there's some throws where it's going like off target, and next thing you know, those long arms and hands are going up and he is going to grab it. He plays in the slot. They'll motion across on third downs, throw him the ball there. He's a first down machine when it comes to that. It's almost automatic that you can move him, throw him the ball in space, and then he's going to find a way to catch it and then make sure that he's beyond the marker. He's a champ when it comes to tracking the ball. He's got a very rare ability to be able to run his route and then be able to keep his eyes and find that football and then adjust his body in order to get that football. He never loses sight of the ball. You don't see him struggle. You know, some of these receivers will look up and you can kind of tell they have no idea where the ball is. This guy knows where the ball is at all times. I mean, it's impressive. His length for the high point passes are outstanding. He could drive a defender off and then come back for the football. He runs with some violence. When the ball's in his hands, he's going to try and make every yard he can. Unfortunately, he had a fumble against the Colts. He was trying to score, and they got him right about the 3-yard line and had a fumble right there. That was the only real mishap that I saw when it came to him turning over the football that way. But he is like a red zone killer, was something I had in my notes. The feet, the hands, everything works really well together. He'll bounce off defenders with the ball in his hands. He uses his body when he runs slants to be able to protect so the defensive back can't go through. He's able to extend, or he's able to kind of cradle it next to him. If there's going to be an incompletion, it's generally a result of he gets tangled up with the defender and then his balance is poor. Now, he can make some adjusting contorted catches, but when he struggles, when he kind of gets knocked a little bit and then his balance gets knocked off a little bit that way, that's when you'll see an incompletion. But he plays the game, as I mentioned, with a lot of fire. And there's just not a lot of routes here. There's the, you know, there's the slant routes, the go routes, the crossing routes. There's just not a lot. You know, I think there's a lot of different ways you can use this guy. I'm going to say this. I don't think he's a great route runner. I think that he is a guy that has a little playground element to him when he runs. And I don't think it's because he doesn't know what he's doing. I just don't. It's one of those things where he's kind of played this game, this loose type of game, where it's not precision, where it's not 12 yards and break it or 7 yards, plant and go. It's a little bit of a playground element to it. But the guy finds ways to get open. And especially when his quarterback's in trouble, he finds ways to get open. So the route running stuff is not going to be really technical when you watch him play. But the receptions are going to be special in the way that he catches the football.
Yeah, I mean, circus catches. When I think of George Pickens, I think of down the sideline, you know, a little bit of that Michael Gallup stuff that we used to see, Dak to Gallup. But this is a much better incarnation of that type of player with George Pickens down the field, throw it up to him, the toe tapping on the sidelines and stuff. And he's not a great route runner, as you said, but he wins with the contested balls in a way that makes him a guy that can absolutely, if you're going to have to double CeeDee Lamb, this is a guy now that you can trust to win one-on-one matchups, especially in man coverage. This is a guy who can win those. And you did not have that in Tolbert or Mingo or Turpin or whoever. And I think all those guys now I have a little bit more confidence in the secondary pass catchers for this offense, because now they're all going to be in roles that make sense for their skills and abilities. Defenses are focused on CeeDee Lamb, and they were going to dare Tolbert and Mingo and those guys to beat them. Well, now, okay, if you're going to dare George Pickens to win in one-on-one coverage, he can absolutely do that. And now Tolbert can be the wide receiver 3 or 4 that he's supposed to be. Same with Mingo. So I think all of that makes sense. I do think it's interesting the way you said they move him, they put him in the slot a little bit as well, because we know that's a CeeDee Lamb thing. He can win on the outside. He can win in the slot. So now you have another piece who can do that. But CeeDee Lamb's a monster in the slot. We know how much of a monster George Pickens is out wide, but having two guys that can kind of be interchangeable from that standpoint, I think, is obviously huge as well. And then the red zone factor. I'm so glad you brought that up. How bad has this Cowboys red zone been? And a lot of that has to do with Dak being unwilling to run the ball himself and the inability to just run the ball in general with this offense. And hopefully that gets cleaned up a little bit. But having a guy at that size who can win on jump balls and understands boundary and getting feet down, to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why this makes so much sense.
Yeah, this is, you know, when we talk about the, when you go back, if I could talk about the slot stuff, I mean, it plays really well, like in bunch formation. So what you could do is, you could put him, you know, with Lamb or whoever else you want to pair them with, those three guys, and you scatter that thing. And, like, you know, him playing on the move is a good thing. And so, because, like I say, the ball is going to, when the ball goes his direction, he is generally going to come down with it. He's just got that kind of uncanny ability to do it. But the slot stuff, the bunch stuff, the red zone stuff, all high quality opportunities for the Cowboys now at their disposal.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about chunk plays. This is a guy who wins down the field. And, I mean, Pro Football Focus graded him as like a 99 in terms of deep ball receiving grade.
Yeah.
This is a guy who over the last – since 2022, he's first among the 44 players who qualify in terms of yards per reception. I mean, 16.3 yards per reception. This is a guy who wins down the field. So when you factor that in, and again, we remember those Prescott to Gallup moments down the sideline, and now you just have a much better version of that style of player.
Yeah, you have a very similar player to CeeDee Lamb when it comes to catching the football. That's what you have, but you mentioned the down the field stuff. Gallup was never able to extend for a pass like this guy has. This guy's ability, I don't think Gallup ever tracked the ball as good as this guy. I don't think, you know, we saw body catches. Where we did see some similarities with Gallup and with Pickens is the understanding where the feet need to be. But as far as high pointing footballs and taking them away from defensive backs and stuff, this guy is a much better deep ball threat than anything the Cowboys have ever had.
Yeah, yeah, and that's an element to this offense that was desperately needed. Now when you factor in, okay, defenses, good luck here. You got Lamb, you got Pickens, you have the juice of a Kevontae Turpin. Obviously, we have some excitement with the Jaden Blue stuff. Hopefully Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
coming back and being with Dak, hopefully in a healthy season for Ferguson. He can get back to being that security blanket. He's also a guy down the seam and even after the catch that can make some plays for you. So, I mean, I feel like as you look at this offense now, I mean, you've solidified the offensive line, hopefully, with the Booker stuff, and hopefully Guyton comes along there at left tackle. But I feel good about the scheme aspect. I mean, now I think really the only questions that remain on the surface here, obviously, what version of Dak are we getting? Is he going to be hitting the ground running? How healthy is he going to be? And then, you know, is it Blue or how does the running back stuff shake out there? And maybe there's another move to be made. I mean, do you think they might get aggressive with a veteran back now? I mean, Nick Chubb's still available. We've talked about the Breece Hall and the Jets and potentially making a move there. So maybe they're not done at the running back spot either.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things. I know that Nick Chubb was a name that was mentioned and a possibility, all that. I do need to circle back on that one because to me, I kind of feel like that they're going to ride with the guys they have right now. I don't get the impression, and I could be wrong about this, but I didn't get the vibe. I got more of a vibe that they were going after the receiver, which they did. I didn't get the vibe that the running back was that part of it. Now, the running back was a factor in the draft if it would have been there at 44. But then they addressed it, you know, they're gonna see what they have with Blue and then with Maffa. And then also too with, you know, with Williams and Sanders and see if they could find, and even Hunter Lipke, you know, potentially they're going to see if they could find three guys out of that mix to be the primary backs, I believe.
Well, if that's really the only big question about the offense, I think that's something that we can all stomach here.
I think the left tackle is a big question here. I think, when you start to talk about the running, or you just talk about the offense in general, you know, and you brought up Ferguson. I think that's a key one too. I think there's these tight ends, even with the addition of Pickens and Lamb and, you know, in that group, these tight ends have got to play better. You know, we've seen times with Luke Schoonmaker and all, Ferguson got to play better. But the biggest question mark, probably not with the running game with these backs, hopefully they've kind of got that taken care of. The biggest question is what's going to happen at left tackle. That is going to be when we get to, you know, when we get to Oxnard. Now we'll get through the OTAs and the mini camps, and then there'll be that month long period where there's really nothing going on. But going into training camp, I guarantee you the left tackle is going to be the one that the spotlight, you know, we talk about Dak, but that left tackle spot, how does Guyton look? Has he made himself look different? Has he worked on with more power? Is his demeanor all that? I mean demeanor, but is his passion for the game, is it where it needs to be? You know, those are the biggest questions now about, you know, if you could talk about, hey, what's the cornerback situation? And what's the situation at left tackle? Those seem to be the ones, and you know, we could throw in the one technique if you want, but the corners and that left tackle are the ones I'm kind of focusing on right now.
Yeah, that's 100% fair. And hopefully Guyton is going to be taking a nice step forward here. Mm-hmm. I am encouraged with the offensive line coach and Adams and everybody coming in here. So there's reason for optimism there for sure. But absolutely, it's a big question on what
the player's got to take the step. Everything, all the pieces are there for, you know, him to get benefit. You know, when I'm talking about Guyton, get some benefit for, you know, get some learning and, you know, and be better. It's on the player. It's like it's on Mozzie Smith to be better. You know, there's certain players that now it's time to be better. And I don't know any way to say it, but there's some guys that are on this roster that have kind of, because certain coaches have been here, they're still here. But there's time for these guys to show up and be better. And we always talk about the next step. You can talk about Tolbert. You know, you could talk about Mozzie Smith. You know, you could talk about, you know, some of these, you're talking about Donovan Wilson if you want. You know, it's time for him not to. There was a time where Donovan Wilson was a promising looking player, and I don't know, maybe he's regressed a little bit here. So there's some, you know, Carson, the corner, that Carson's to me the guy. You know, when you watched him play at Wake Forest, I was like, damn, this guy's got a chance. And then he gets hurt, he gets thrown in the game, he doesn't play well, his confidence is shot. You know, there's some guys that need to absolutely step up here.
Yeah. Plenty of questions, especially defensively. But this was one of the bigger looming holes on the roster here. And now they have solidified it with George Pickens. And I think the football fit on the field makes a ton of sense. The personality, the immaturity, obviously a bit of a question. But
let me ask you something real quick, Eric, yeah. If I could. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Everybody's now kind of asking the question, well, so much for the right kind of guy and so much for the culture and so much for the, what is your response to the fan base that's like was kind of digging the, hey, listen, the captain, these guys are well-liked, they're, you know, they're starters, four-year starters and all that. What are you saying to Cowboy fans out there that are now saying, well, there goes all that out the window with the signing or the trade of George Pickens.
Yeah, I think it's pretty laughable to say all that goes out the window. I understand Brian Schottenheimer and his mindset of trying to revamp the culture a little bit and have the type of personalities and leadership and an influx of that with a rookie class. I totally get that. But there is a need for one, great talent, which George Pickens absolutely is. And two, I think there's also an element of having some dog personalities, having a couple of those sprinkled in. This is football. Let's not forget the level of toughness and attitude and a dog that's willing to go out there and bite and get physical. And maybe there's an unsportsmanlike conduct here or there. But I think when you look at great teams throughout time, it's not 53 choir boys, you know, and you've done a nice job having an influx of those guys for sure. When it comes to trying to reestablish the new way of doing things in the culture that Brian Schottenheimer is trying to do. But I think you've got enough of those guys now. And maybe you would love to have George Pickens fall into that type of personality category, but I'm open to the idea of having a guy that is a little bit on edge and certainly competitive as hell. And you also have a quarterback here that I think can help sort of rein that in to some extent. That's not something from a leadership standpoint that Pittsburgh has really had at all. So to me, you can't say that all goes out the window of what Brian Schottenheimer's trying to do. You've done like 10 different things in that way of trying to reestablish personalities, but I don't think it's wrong to sprinkle in a little bit of crazy. You got to have a couple of guys with a screw loose on your team.
Yeah, this reminds me of the great line that was uttered in a draft meeting in 1998, and it's uttered by Jim Garrett, Jason Garrett's dad, who I worked with for a long time. And Jim Garrett looked at Chan Gailey when they were having a discussion about Randy Moss, and Jim Garrett looked at him and said, "Coach, this is the NFL. It's not the Boy Scouts." And he was trying to explain, because Chan Gailey and Dwayne Painter, the receivers coach, wanted nothing to do with Randy Moss. And when Jim Garrett, he at the front of that room, he stood there and he said, "Coach, Coach, this is the NFL. It's not the Boy Scouts." So I'll always remember Jim Garrett's line uttered about Randy Moss, and he was absolutely right.
Amen. That's a great bar. And not to mention, it's not like you're talking about a guy with a ton of off the field issues where he's got some type of criminal background or something like that. You're not bringing in Greg Hardy. You know, this is completely different. This is a guy with immense talent who's young, a bit immature, but competitive as heck. And as you mentioned, even in Pittsburgh, like still pretty well liked in that locker room.
Still well liked, yeah. Wasn't a problem.
So I'm here for it. I like it. It is. It was a splashy move, and I think it's a needle moving type move. We don't know how big picture it's going to be,
but right
for this season. Right now, your offense just got a ton better, and defensive coordinators and corners and safeties are all going crap. When the Cowboys show up, it's not just CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of schmoes. You're gonna have to deal with a lot of stuff coming at you here. And again, I love the red zone stuff, and I love the downfield element of, hey, it's not going to be a shock now when we have a 50-yard reception and it's somebody not named CeeDee Lamb.
There you go.
I think it's a great fit, and I'm excited about it. All right, let's go ahead and we'll get into the Dean Julian mailbag here on the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.